It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Des Moines Mayor Frank Cowney is just back from a trip to the climate change conference in Paris on Saturday. We heard in our news a historic agreement reached to address climate change. It was finalized. Des Moines Mayor Frank Cowney just stepped into our Des Moines studio and is sitting down, I assume. Mayor Cowney, welcome to the program.
Well, it's great to be here.
Tell us, what was your goal as a city mayor in attending this global conference?
Well, I think that having been to some of these other COPs, our early expectations, were that they would come away with some sort of an understanding, a deal, if you will. That local governments around the world have been working on a variety of issues and trying to be supportive, sort of from the ground up, rather than waiting for a top down decision and saying, "Hey, we're aware of the issues. We're aware of what's going on in the climate. We are the places where extremes are happening, and we are having to deal with it." You know, in Iowa, it's not like, some of the coastal areas or some of the island nations. We deal with flooding. And quite frankly, we're looking at some minor flooding that may occur even right now in the middle of December, which is a little out of the ordinary.
Right, and I bet you that was a reminder, returning from Paris to your city, flooding, right?
Exactly.
A harbinger of perhaps things to come?
Well, it sort of. So at any rate, the mayors, we had sort of a mayor's agreement, if you will, a mayor's compact, where we all agreed that, A, we would sign on, and B, we would do our baseline studies, which Des Moines has already done, and then set some targets for reductions and then make a plan to get that done and then, of course, monitor, but more importantly, share with everybody else, what it is that we're doing in our places where we are. And while some of the things that might happen in California or island states in the Pacific or nations, there may be some things that we're doing to prepare and to mitigate and think about responding and recovering. How is it that we're going to do that and share some of those practices? So pushing that into Paris for the last, couple of years, with focusing that we would come away with it, that we were hopeful that working with national level delegations around the world, that they would come with some sort of an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that in Paris, the French, I think, in framing it and being the hosts, asked that all the nations bring some of their early ideas on commitments to the table and present them prior to the COP. And they did. About 185 of them did. And so that was a huge improvement over anything that I had seen in the past. And they were down dealing with, towards the end, with a lot of complicated things, including finance and what about damage and loss to some of those island nations, states, countries. How do they, the developing countries, transition into developed, and what does their economy look like? And the hope is that they would not choose a carbon base, but they work with renewables to power their future. And I think that knowing that in many cases that may be more expensive than relying on some of the old technologies. And I think that they have come up with, I believe, an agreement, although I haven't seen it, how the financing is going to work, but with a $100 billion commitment on the part of the developed countries to help finance those new technology efforts. So many different pieces came together. It was exciting to be part of it. The U.S. booth, for instance, had major technology displays all the time that showed data around, ice, freshwater, forest fires, aerosols in the air, just all kinds of data, interesting stuff. And it was fascinating to see it, but quite frightening, quite frankly, as you watched it depicted each one of these displays, you know, over almost a 20-year period that they've been following it and see the changes in the seasons and look at it, and then you go, holy smokes, there's really some serious things happening globally and that we need to deal with it, and that's why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Let's focus in on Iowa and Des Moines. You spoke of a baseline study there. Tell us a little bit more about that. What is a baseline study? We are, as you mentioned, we have no coastal cities. We're hundreds of miles away from any seacoast. So what are we keeping track of here, and how do we want to impact that?
Well, so you look at your carbon emissions and try to figure out what the sources are in what different sectors. So there's transportation sector, there's obviously business, there's residential, there's lots of different ways to track it. But you look at the sources in the sale of fuels, the consumption of different types of fuels. And, of course, in Iowa, we have a very interesting sort of set of fuel sources. So if you look at MidAmerican Energy, let's say 8-9 years ago, their makeup of power was coal, about probably 60-65% coal, and then the balance was divided up amongst a little bit of hydro, I believe, some nuclear, and some gas-powered generators. So there was an effort on the part to think about more coal plants in Iowa, and I think that the Iowa Utilities Board, after listening to local governments and citizens of Iowa, said, no, that's probably not a good plan. And so MidAmerican, rather than look and fight further on coal, decided to go to wind. And much to their credit, from that 7-8 years ago where they were zero wind, they are now almost 40% wind. Mm-hmm. So you start looking at those solutions on what we do and how we power our states, how we look at our economy, what that fuel source looks like moving into the future. How do we make buildings more efficient? I was working with the United States Green Building Council earlier in the year. They said one of the quickest, easiest things to do is to see if we can't make our buildings more energy efficient. The lack of efficiency in buildings around the country, they claim their statistics would show about $130 billion a year wasted just on the waste of fuel to heat and cool and light buildings, as opposed to a lot of the technologies that are out there today to make our buildings much more efficient. City of Des Moines, we feel like while we're working with our business sector, who has responded very positively, at the same time, we thought that years ago we should begin thinking about it and lead by example, and we have libraries, former libraries, maintenance facilities, new buildings that all are LEED Platinum, many of them are. And what does that mean? Well, the United States Green Building Council has a leadership in energy and environmental design that looks at new buildings. And what does it mean? Great deal of it has to do with the energy efficiency. Our Franklin Avenue library, for instance, we did an expansion on it a few years ago. It's about twice the size of what it was formerly for the last 30, 40 years. And they doubled the size, and essentially with the photovoltaics, the geothermal, the energy efficiency of the building itself, that building at twice the size operates it, depending on the time of year, 70-80% less energy used than the building that was half its size, mm-hmm. which I think is really an example. And we've taken people on tours of it, showing people what is possible when they say, you know, it can't be done. The old library, there's a LEED Platinum building. If somebody says you can't take a 100-year-old building and make it a 21st century energy efficiency, there's an example of what can be done if you really put your mind to it and really put your best efforts forward.
If you've just joined us, Des Moines Mayor Frank County is with us. He's just returned from Paris, where there was the historic agreement finalized over the weekend, the UN Climate Conference in Paris. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org. Iowa Public Radio is also on Facebook, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk. Calling from Des Moines is Eric, one of our listeners. Hi, Eric. What do you have to chip in?
Hi, thank you. I've read a lot about climate change, and the two things that people could do is increase energy efficiency and eat plants. The sun and the wind are free, but converting those to energy requires resources, and energy efficiency is always the first step. When you talk about LEED, you know, I've read a lot about LEED, and from my perspective, it's more of a marketing gimmick than an actual indication of energy efficiency. And as to Paris, James Hansen has repeatedly called the conference a fraud. He said that the only way to reduce carbon use is to tax carbon and distribute the revenue to the citizens. This mm-hmm. will benefit people who use less carbon at the expense of people who do use carbon.
So your question, Eric, for the mayor is?
I'd like to ask Mr. County what Iowa or what Des Moines, what he's doing to improve energy efficiency or to reduce the use of animal food products.
Okay, thank you very much, Eric in Des Moines.
So in terms of energy efficiency, I think we have replaced windows, doors in City Hall. We are installing new, much more efficient heating cooling systems in our City Hall. Our new combined service center, which is where parks and public works are transitioning into, and is a very energy efficient building, and from both a heating, cooling, and lighting standpoint, using a lot of natural light, a lot of energy efficiency design pieces that hopefully we think is going to really yield huge reductions in our consumption. And I will say that since we started this program, and you know, with a bunch of buildings that are 50 to 100 years old, we have reduced our energy consumption in Des Moines city operations about 15%, and we're looking to by 2020, we'd like to be at 25, and hopefully working with our distributed energy provider, MidAmerican Energy, to see if we can't come up with the most efficient ways to make that happen. But I think, again, as I mentioned, we don't want to just do it in city operations. We would like to be an example and set an example for our citizens and for our local businesses to show them what can be done and demonstrate how those efficiencies could be put into practical use by our citizens.
What do you say to the critics who say that taking steps to slow climate change will cost livelihoods, will also cost a lot of money, also here in Iowa?
Well, I think that some of the argument that's out there is certainly, you know, we have these industries that were formed around the carbon-based energy sources. And I think that, you know, for many, whether you're in the oil or the coal or gas sectors, you would say that, you know, this threatens, you know, our livelihood. I would say to that, you know, it used to be the people that had horse and buggies, you know, they felt a little put out when cars were invented. I just think that we sort of move on and transition to the latest new technology. And I think that we realize that there are you know, different sources, new sources of energy that are not finite, that we should capture, and the wind and the sun are two of those sources that we could make more available and use, and there is technologies to do that. And so there is many, many jobs to be created, not only in Iowa but around the country in those sectors. And certainly in Iowa, We've seen, I think the last number I saw was over 7,000 jobs just in the wind industry sector.
Right. Erecting these wind towers, maintaining them requires the work as well, yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's just people are often resistant to change, but when it becomes necessary, we are very creative and innovative, and I think that we'll transition. Will some of the businesses that are still operating in that old paradigm be somehow hurt potentially? I don't see that in the next 6 months or probably five or six years that 100% transition is going to be made to renewables. I would like to see that happen, but I see more of a slow transition that's going to happen that's not going to shut these industries down overnight, but will also give us a little bit of time to train people in these new technologies, not starting in technical schools, DMAC, for instance, and get people trained up to be able to step into these 21st century jobs.
Frank County is with me. Des Moines Mayor just returned from Paris, site of the UN Climate Conference, and the agreement finalized there, a landmark agreement which commits 195 countries to cutting greenhouse gas emissions. I wonder, being there among all the other representatives of these almost 200 countries, we have, of course, political controversy about global climate change. Did you get a sense that the U.S. was an outlier there, that the U.S. was different, or do these political controversies surrounding climate change here exist in other parts of the world?
Well, I think looking at the data that was available there, I would like to have a lot of the folks who were questioning the reality of it either talk to Dr. Hansen or Bill McKibben, or even go to NASA and NOAA and look at the data that's available and realize that there is major work that we have to do. I will say that in the context of the negotiations in Paris, I didn't see much, if any, rhetoric or discussion going on about the denial of it. There is
denial of man's humankind's part in it.
Or exactly.
What and, was there denial of humankind's part in it?
Not there at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There is some discussion around the extent of it and how much reduction had to be made to hold us to that 2 degrees centigrade that people say is sort of the threshold to avoid the most serious of change consequences and effects. Although I did see some hope on the part of most of the negotiators that were hoping that we're setting sort of the base and saying here's what we really need to do right now. But quite frankly, our ambitions have to even be higher, that we should probably shoot for more like 1.5 degrees as opposed to 2 to avert some of the most serious consequences. And I think that for those of us here today and are we going to see huge changes? Although as we look outside, we think that there's probably some underway. But in our lifetimes, maybe not. However, in our children's and grandchildren's and great-grandchildren's lives, I think the consequences could be very, very devastating. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the work that we're doing today is for them, not just for the economy for the next 12 to 60 months. We're looking long term here.
Okay. We've got a few minutes left. I wanted to certainly ask you about the mood in Paris, given the recent terrorist attacks there a few weeks ago. Special precautions, heavy security, I imagine, especially for this conference.
Yes, there was. I think that many accolades, quite frankly, should be given to the French for the way they handled it and the security that they placed in the transportation sector and around the venues themselves. We met a number of times at City Hall. The local government representatives, there was about 650 of us, Security was very tight around there, and either military, paramilitary, police were present, although not threatening. And plus around Le Bourget itself, which is where the Conference of the Parties was being held, security was very tight around there. And I think they were determined that they, quite frankly, would not let these discussions be any way impaired by the horrible terrorist attacks that had happened a couple of weeks before. Mm-hmm. And they really did a miraculous job, and so I commend them for the way it was handled. Quite frankly, for those of us, other than an awful lot of congestion around the venues from time to time, not all the time.
Traffic.
That seemed to be the only thing that made some of the journeys a little bit longer than we thought. Because our hotel was about between the City Hall and Le Bourget, and going either way, we were a little closer to City Hall, so it was only about 20 minutes to a half hour to get from our hotel into the subway, if you will, to the City Hall and in to Le Bourget, where the cop was. Sometimes it would take an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay. We've got a little less than a minute. I understand you have an event coming up in Des Moines. Tell us about that briefly, if you could.
Well, we had one last night,
okay,
actually, and I think there's going to be a few more coming up, but a number of people talking about the climate conference and, quite frankly, celebrating the accord that came forth. And, quite frankly, to me, it was spectacular in that there was 100% acceptance of the documents that came out of it.
And very quickly, you hope this will spread to other Iowa cities and other mayors will follow the lead. And the Dubuque mayor was in Paris as well.
Yes, he was. And he was there talking about the Mississippi River watershed. And he is one of the mayors that leads that effort. And quite frankly, they, along with a number of other mayors around the state, when we years ago signed a mayor's climate protection agreement, we had 35, 40 Iowa mayors that signed on at that time.
We have to go. It's been a pleasure having you in our studio. Thank you for coming by.
Let's do it again.
All right. Des Moines Mayor Frank County just back from Paris, where that historic agreement was finalized on climate change. Coming up in just a moment after we take a short break, we'll hear how Iowa State University students have designed a new military outpost created to lessen post-traumatic stress in soldiers. We'll also get a reaction to that new design, those ideas, from a veteran who was stationed in Afghanistan.